My name is Jane Fernandez. I'm the Provost and Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs at UNC Asheville.
Thanks very much for your time today. I appreciate it. Jane Fernandez was named the 9th president of Guilford College in Greensboro. There are a number of firsts associated with your being named president. First woman to hold the position, also first quote-unquote deaf educator, first president who isn't Quaker. When you consider the list of firsts, what's most important to you?
Well, before I answer, actually, I'm the second person who's not a Quaker.
I appreciate the clarification.
So, the current president, Kent Chabotar, is the first president who was not Quaker. So the other two firsts, I don't know if I could name which one is most important, because I'm deaf and I'm a woman, and they're all parts of me. So I'm not sure what's most important. I think they're all probably, all the parts of me are important.
What first attracted you to Guilford, and what makes this the right time and the right fit?
I was interested in Guilford because of their focus on practical liberal arts. I think it's the right time because we need to be articulate about how the liberal arts are not something that takes place in an ivory tower, but the liberal arts are actually engaged in problem-solving, community-building, and critical thinking.
During your career, have you ever witnessed what's happening with liberal arts education? It seems to me as if a liberal arts education is under attack from many elected officials.
In my career, I have not seen it before, but it has happened before at the turn of the last century in the history of American higher education. At a time, turn of the last century, we had many immigrants, women and children, many immigrant families. And there was a strong push from society for vocational education. Liberal arts were challenged. But we know that liberal arts, in the long run, the vast majority of successful people, leaders of our society, all went to liberal arts colleges. So I'm confident that we will weather the storm.
And you do see it as a storm.
I think it's a storm, yes, and we will be changed by the feedback we are receiving. But essentially, liberal arts will remain a vital part of higher education.
UNC Asheville Chancellor Ann Ponder spent some time at Guilford. How did she, if at all, influence your decision to apply for this job and actually accept the position?
Ann Ponder was very critical in my decision to apply. She encouraged me to apply. I think she was the first person who pointed out to me that Guilford would be a very good match for me. And she was at my side as a mentor and a guide throughout the process, up to and including my acceptance of the position.
I'm going to read a quote that is attributed to you, and you can tell me if it's accurate. And it's your reaction to being named president. Quote, "I feel that my whole life in some way has formed a path leading me to Guilford. As a person born deaf, I have profound appreciation for the value of silence. So the Quaker heritage, one aspect of which is guiding deliberations through the power of silent reflection, is a characteristic that greatly appeals to me. It is rare to find kindred community that values both silence and dialogue."
One aspect of Guilford that did draw my interest. And it fostered my sense that my life had been on a path leading me there, is that I'd never known a community who valued silence and was very articulate about the value of silence. But not they didn't say silence is better than dialogue or dialogue is better than silence, but that both have roles in a decision-making reflective process. And that fits me perfectly, personally. So I felt that personally and institutionally there was a match there.
You have an undergraduate degree from Trinity College, a master's and doctor from Iowa. I know people from Iowa, and it seems to me there's a certain Iowa sensibility. Would you agree with that? Iowa seems different to me.
University of Iowa, and Iowa City is a great university. And I enjoyed living in Iowa City and in the state of Iowa. And yes, there is a culture, there's a sensibility of Iowa people that is authentic, genuine. It's connected to the earth and connected to real things. It's all the things that we all ought to be doing more of. So I loved it there.
You have had a remarkable career in education, and there have been some bumps along the road. You gained national attention when you were at Gallaudet, you were designated the president of Gallaudet, but then you were actually had to give up that post, or were asked to give up the post by the Board of Trustees after some campus protests. What did you learn from that experience?
Well, I learned, especially in relation to the deaf community. I see that as an outcome of an intra-cultural conflict that's related mostly to deaf people, and it probably applies to other minority groups. But I understood the power of the symbolism of the president of Gallaudet University, and that I was not able to represent or serve as the concept of a mayor of the deaf community. So Gallaudet University president is the president of the university, but is also a symbolic leader of the entire deaf community in the United States and the world. And that I didn't ultimately have the right characteristics to serve in the role, the symbolic role, as the leader of the deaf community.
Do you see yourself representing the community when you assume the presidency at Guilford?
I did discuss that during my on-campus interview that I felt, yes, there's a match for me. There's a match at a deep level in terms of the Quaker heritage of the college. Even though I'm new to Quaker heritage, there seems like a match, and that I would be able to serve both the role as the leader of the college and the symbolic role.
I've read that this description of you, and you can tell me if it's fair, you were described as a white deaf woman, the daughter of a deaf mother and hearing father, both deaf and hearing brothers. You grew up deaf, but you were raised in an oral education program. For those who don't understand what that means, explain what it means to be raised in an oral education program.
Well, for deaf people, especially at the time I was born, there were perhaps, I guess you would say, stark contrasts in educational options. So one involves the use of sign language in education, and the other involves a commitment to learning and speaking English. So my mother, as a deaf mother, grew up learning how to speak and speech read English. So she taught me that way. So I didn't learn sign language when I was educated. I learned sign language actually when I was 23 at the University of Iowa. It was the first exposure I had to it. So my parents put everything into me being able to speak and speech read and write English.
Interesting childhood. What will you miss about UNC Asheville and this community?
Well, UNC Asheville actually taught me a great deal. And probably pivotal in helping me to gain some of the skills that will make me a good president. So I would say I'm going to miss the people. I'm going to miss the faculty, world-class faculty, who are committed to really understanding issues from a range of perspectives. They actually do it. They teach interdisciplinary approaches. And they're not just doing it because they have to, they're doing it because they believe in them.
Is it hard to leave?
Yes, it's bittersweet. It's bittersweet, honestly. I'm going to miss UNC Asheville a great deal, and I'm going to miss working with all the senior staff, academic affairs administrators, the faculty, the students. This has been, it's been a joy for me. Yes, I'm going to miss it, but it's time to move on.
You're leaving the chancellor is leaving. A number of the most respected faculty members are either retiring or approaching retirement. What do you think the future holds for this campus and UNC Asheville's standing as one of the UNC system schools?
I think UNC Asheville has a strong future because while we're losing many highly regarded faculty, we're hiring tremendous, top-notch, world-class assistant professors who bring a fantastic future for the academic core of the university. We've kept pace in terms of retirements. We've kept pace replacing all the people who are retiring. And we're hiring phenomenal people. They are the future of the university. That's how you build a university.
Did you consider applying for the soon-to-be-vacated position of UNCA chancellor?
I did not consider that, no. I guess I learned my lesson when I was the provost at Gallaudet University and I applied to be the president. I learned how difficult it is to make that move internally, and I did not consider that. Partly why I decided to move on at this time, in part, is because Chancellor Ponder is retiring, and I believe that the next chancellor will want and should have the option of bringing in his or her own people. I was not prepared to have the decision so quickly. I thought it would take me some time, but it happened quickly, and I'm glad the way it's all working out.
You're leaving a public university for a private college. Is that a significant change for you? Philosophically, is it a significant change?
Well, philosophically, in terms of education, it's probably similar. And a lot of my experience in the past has been at private universities. But what's probably different, I feel that at Guilford College, we'll have hard decisions to make, but ultimately the decisions we make will be made by us. And in the public domain, we have a greater responsibility to be sure that the decisions we make support more than just the university. So we're here to support economic development. UNC Asheville is here to support economic development of Western North Carolina. We're here to assure an educated citizenry for the state. I've enjoyed that responsibility. I think that's going to go on. And UNC Asheville will do a great job, as we have been doing all along with that.
One of the advantages that UNC Asheville has is it's often listed as a great value. The cost of education is very high. The cost of attending Guilford is extremely high. What do you think about that? What's Guilford's future, knowing how much it costs to attend a very small liberal arts private college?
I think that private liberal arts colleges that are small serve a particular niche of students who need a small environment with the opportunity to develop close relationships, supportive relationships between faculty and students. There'll always be a need for that. I think that Guilford's future is strong.
Overall, though, just in terms of the cost of higher education, whether it be public or private, is that one of the major issues that faces families, students, and the country as we move forward? Because the cost of higher education has escalated
absolutely.
So much.
Yes, absolutely. Guilford College offers over 90% of their students significant financial aid and scholarships. I think that is probably extremely high percentage of students. But I don't know enough, but I believe it's a really high percentage of students who are getting support to help the families pay for college. But there's no question that the costs of higher education are a fundamental challenge for the whole nation.
The University of North Carolina Asheville is roughly 3,700 students today. Could the University of North Carolina Asheville actually succeed with 4,500 students or cap its enrollment at closer to 5,000? And would that be in the best interest of the university and of the community at large?
Well, personally, speaking for myself only, okay, I believe UNC Asheville is at an ideal size as it is right now, and I would advocate it remaining the size that it is.
And why would that be?
Well, I think that to be a liberal arts college, of the kind that UNC Asheville is. We aspire to high quality, small class sizes, close faculty-student relationships, with faculty having time beyond their teaching to engage students in undergraduate research and community-engaged scholarship. We're not in a position to increase the faculty beyond the number that we have now, and we're not in a position to have more buildings and more space. We're not in a position to make the cafeteria twice as big as it is now. So we would need a large plan to fund a larger university. And I think that right now, based on what the Board of Governors has just decided about UNC Asheville's mission, they basically affirmed our mission as it is. In fact, they made no changes. So I see us, I think the best future for UNC Asheville, personally, speaking out for myself, is to remain the size that it is and focus on enhancing quality, not focus on increasing numbers, but focus on being better in terms of quality.
UNC Asheville Provost Jane Fernandez assumes her new duties as president of Guilford College July 1st. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.